Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
DeAndre Hopkins still salty, man. Very salty. Seems like once a week he brings up being traded by the Houston Texans. I get it. We hated the trade.
Make the team better. T-E-A-M.
We were ticked off about it. But man, this dude's running out of material. I don't know that the jokes just aren't slapping like John Lopez's and Cedric the Entertainer's earlier in the show.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
He's salty. Mm-hmm. Very salty, DeAndre Hopkins.
I think he's just... He still has bad feelings about what happened. I think he's happy in Arizona, especially now with JJ there and other things going on. I think he mostly just kind of was like, top receivers are underrated. You know, that I think that was his thing, because he was talking about Julio Jones and what they got from him. But they still got more than the Texans got for Hopkins, for him.
Here is DeAndre Hopkins meeting with the media types yesterday, being asked about Julio Jones being traded for similar, really better compensation than he was traded for. Here is DeAndre Hopkins, salty as he's ever been.
That we're not worth first round picks, that the first round picks are bad, and that's basically what I would like.
All right, so there's the first joke. Yeah. First-round picks are better than us, so that's why I was worth the second-round pick. Maybe that would be the end of it.
Not really.
And a lot more salt there.
I'd like to see a first-round pick that could do what Julio and myself do. But, you know, guys are pretty good. You know, the receiver core, receiver groups, you know, coming out of college, they're a little bit more advanced than I was back in my days, even though I only had, like, however many touchdowns, 15 or so touchdowns. But, you know, you got guys like, you know, Justin Jefferson who came in balling as a rookie. So, you know, there's definitely some guys that can do what Julio and myself do. But
all right, so there you go. Part two of the joke. You think he's done?
Yeah, isn't he done?
Huh?
But I'm surprised, shoot, that Julio. I mean, I know, you know, I was only coming off a first team All Pro, you know, so I kind of figured I might only go for a second round. But I was surprised a guy like Julio would only go for a second rounder.
Man, that is sarcasm just dripping. Sounded a little bit like A.J. Brown. Pro Bowl, big deal. Maybe not. Okay, it is. All Pro, coming off All Pro. Second rounder, yeah, sure.
When's he going to move on? I mean, I hate the trade, too, and I hate that it got to that, but at what point does DeAndre Hopkins need to move on from this?
I think he's moving on. I think it's just when it comes up, that wound is never going to fully repair, but I think he's moved on. He's just angry. I mean, he's just angry.
He probably didn't want to get traded. He probably wanted
probably
to stay
didn't.
In Houston.
He probably, you know, liked what he had with Deshaun. I mean, all, you know, nothing against Kyler Murray, but I think he's like, man, that was the dumbest thing, and that's just a deep wound.
Okay, well, at some point I would probably just move on from it, I would think. You found a place that you say you like a lot.
I think he does.
Move on, DeAndre.
I think he does.
You're good. I mean, it's hard for me to move on because, I mean, it's a representation of where we are right now, just the whole King Bill era. But I would just probably just, I would suggest for his sanity, I would just move past it, Nuke. You're going to be good. Bounce back. Get to the playoffs. Do your thing. Have a good time. Tell JJ we said hey.
A little bit, yeah.
Do your thing. But there are a lot of things around here that are hard to move on from. I think the Astros cheating scandal, we thought would be hard to move on, but when you go to Game 7 of the ALCS and you continue to play the baseball that the Astros are continuing to play, and there's familiar faces doing their thing, and there's guys that weren't necessarily significant parts of the championship run that are contributing, the Astros have made it very easy on us. I think we need to be thankful for the Astros because they are the sanity and they are the daddy of Houston sports. They've made it very easy to move past one of the biggest cheating scandals in the history of the sport.
They certainly made it easy in this city. Even in Boston, they were still you know, some bad vibes, bad things said and yelled and booed and all that at the Astros. But in this city, I think you don't necessarily move on, but I think it's very, very clear they may have cheated. I mean, not may, they did. They cheated, and, you know, they paid for it, but they're pretty dang good. I mean, they're pretty good, dang good. I think Alex Cora said they put on a clinic after yesterday's game. That's no cheating. That's no anything electronic. And the Astros still, I think, you're in a place where you're like, look, yeah, it happened, but it's not like this team needed that to be good. They're really, really good.
And they are still good. So the cheating scandal is kind of in the rear view around here. The Texans, the Bill O'Brien era, all the bad trades. I say DeAndre needs to move on because he's in a better place. We're stuck with the B.O.B., Jack Easterby stench. So it might be hard to move on from that. But, and I'm giving a warning to people, mm-hmm. because this is going to be a talking point, and it could potentially happen. It looks like there's a chance that this could happen. There could be something else that is going to come front of mind again, mm-hmm. and it could happen very soon. And that is a potential James Harden, Chris Paul, NBA Finals.
Yep.
We remember what happened in the Western Conference Finals when the Rockets took control of the series, took a 3-2 lead. Chris Paul's hamstring popped. He missed game 6 and 7. The Rockets lose. The Warriors win. The Warriors advance. Here was James Harden back in the day talking about whether or not the Rockets would have won an NBA championship had Chris Paul not gotten hurt.
We don't even think about that. You know, we had an opportunity tonight and last game without Chris. Obviously, he's a big part of what, you know, while we're here. But we had opportunities, especially in that first half, both games.
Okay, so James Harden takes the high road. We didn't know what happened after that. Chris Paul, according to many, he looked washed up. I mean, they traded him for Russell Westbrook, 2 firsts, 2 pick swaps.
How'd he look lately?
He looks like he should be an MVP candidate and should have gotten MVP votes. And the Suns have a commanding 2-0 lead in their series with the Denver Nuggets. They look like they could be on a crash course towards a Western Conference Finals matchup with either Utah or the Clippers.
I think he played a perfect game.
We've seen it so many times.
But no, I mean, like even statistically, 17 points, just, you know, I think I got this number right. I haven't looked it up. 17, 15, and 0 turnovers, I think is what he had. For a point guard, that might be the perfect game. You're not, you know, scoring, you're not relied on to score everything and be the guy, but you score, you pass the ball, 15 assists, and just protect the ball, 0 turnovers. That's perfect.
And we thought he was washed.
Yeah.
I mean, I say we. I'm not on my high horse. I dang sure thought he was washed. And there was obviously a beef between CP3 and James Harden, which led to Chris Paul being traded. He still has his work cut out for him, though, and the draft picks are what really hurts. You threw in 2 ones and 2 swaps. Just to get rid of Chris Paul for an mm-hmm. inferior player now in Russell Westbrook, who you then got rid of for an even more inferior player in John Wall. So Chris Paul still has his work cut out for him, but it's hard not to watch him do what he's doing and not feel a little bit silly. And again, I'm not sitting on my soapbox. I'm not playing hindsight is 2020. I thought Chris Paul was as washed as anybody, and I think you did too. Mm-hmm. And maybe it was just a him and Harden thing, but I thought – the dude opted out of his player option. Like, if I would have told you a few years ago that Chris Paul was going to opt out of $42 million a year because he could get more, you would have told me I was effing crazy.
Yeah.
But that's where we are right now, and it's hard not to feel foolish. Elsewhere in Brooklyn, James Harden, now a member of the Brooklyn Nets. They don't even need James Harden to play at the moment because they have probably the best player in the game right now in Kevin Durant, who looks like his old self. Mm-hmm. Harden carried that team for long stretches during the regular season. Now James Harden with the sore hammy left early in game one. Kevin Durant is carrying that squad along with Kyrie Irving. And it appears while Chris Paul's got his work cut out for him still, I think Brooklyn is – I mean, I don't see anyone beating Brooklyn with are without James Harden. So I think James Harden, on his side of things, he can rest up, and James Harden will be ready to go.
I'm hearing that James Harden, I mean, he might be out now, out like, you know, for the duration, which would be one of the most James Harden things ever. You finally win a championship without playing. Oh, my goodness. Any, all the James Harden critics would still just have a field day with him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but that's how stacked they are. I can't believe would Brooklyn be able to gel was a legit talking point. That was
Kyrie,
a little bit silly.
You have to give him so much credit.
He's cold.
Well, not only that.
He's a little wild, but he's a badass. He's a good player.
Yes. I mean, that's a given.
Very good player.
But I just think he's – who would have thought, you know, he would know his role and play his role just perfectly?
He did it with LeBron all those years.
Yeah.
When he gets on the court, Kyrie Irving, I mean, you see the way the guy hoops. But let's pretend that James Harden and Chris Paul do go to the NBA Finals and they face each other.
Okay.
You want to talk about salts? We've heard DeAndre Hopkins take shots at the Texans. I could see Chris Paul taking it upon himself to take shots at James Harden. If you don't believe me, let's just go back to the postseason when Oklahoma City faced the Rockets. Oklahoma City won a game early. The Rockets ended up getting the best of Chris Paul in an overachieving, I want to emphasize, Oklahoma City team, just adding to how good Chris Paul has been since many of us thought he was washed. Here was Chris Paul taking a shot at James Harden about a year or so ago.
You know, when it gets to clutch time, fourth quarter, some people built for it. Some people shy away from it. Some people built for it, man, and we're gonna keep hooping.
Some people built for it. Some people shy away from it.
I wonder who that was. I don't think this is getting over it so much as you just feel bad that it just could never work here. There was always something. I mean, I think Rockets fans, you know, are over it per se. I just think they feel like, man, a wasted opportunity. Let's put it that way.
I don't think all fans are. I don't know if it's I hate when people say, how should fans feel? If I'm a Texans fan, I hate that. But I do think there is a portion of fans that are just really salty about this that they couldn't make it work. Like
that's what I'm saying. They just feel like bad.
Well, and the other thing is, and I've heard this from many people who cover the NBA, many people who know, Daryl Morey's telling anybody who wants to listen that this was not his trade. And I don't know if this was part of the reason that Daryl Morey ended up leaving. I know Daryl and James still have a good relationship, but this Chris Paul trade, Daryl Morey is insistent. And I've heard it secondhand from very reliable people multiple times. Mm-hmm. This was not his deal. This was ownership driven. And I'd actually heard as well that ownership was not pleased with Chris Paul, like many of us were, and thought that maybe he was washed and maybe that was a bad contract. But I know I have been told by many people that I trust that Daryl Morey insists this was not 100% his trade, trading CP for Westbrook.
It's a trick question.
Yeah, I don't think it was per se, but ultimately he's responsible for it. I mean, he was still in charge. They still went on with Westbrook.
And if I was responsible, I would still probably say I was not.
I was not responsible.
If we're being honest.
Yeah, I am, but not really.
You know.
I think there were influences. Yes, I do think there were strong influences, for Daryl Morey there.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
But what a bad trade.
He's doing all right, by the way.
We talk about the Nuke trade. That Chris Paul trade is 100 times worse.
Awful.
And if the Rockets don't get that top four pick,
it's next week, right?
It's 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
12 days.
Yeah.
If they don't get that, it's going to come front and center even more.
Yeah.
So prepare yourself for a potential reemergence of the Chris Paul trade and the ghost of CP3 haunting myself as much as anyone else. Again, I'm not on my high horse. I thought he was washed too. And be prepared for a potential James Harden versus Chris Paul NBA Finals, which you are right, John. It would be hilarious if James Harden was sitting there in his Yeezys
finally
on the sidelines
one,
watching
just,
the NBA championship.
Just laid back chilling. I got my ring.
He's sitting back in that Kanye West shirt or whatever the hell he's been known to wear. But prepare for it. It could be coming two NBA games tonight as well. Playoffs going. Former Rockets in bulk. Coming up, the Texans canceled practice. What the hell is up with that? We'll hear from all of Team 610, the mini camp hot takes, and our reaction to them next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, David Coley canceled minicamp. A lot of reaction here at Team 610. We'll hear it in a sec, 713-572-4610. Before we do, though, let's go to Ralph. Ralph, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I got a trade proposal.
Okay.
Trade Watson to the Cardinals for J.J. Watt and Hopkins.
All right.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
Yeah, let's. Hey, JJ, we're going to grant you your release, and then we're going to trade the franchise quarterback for you and another guy who didn't want to be here.
Let's stop there.
All right.
What's Kyler Murray going to do?
All right, Ralph. Have a good one, man.
That's just plain stupid.
All right, Ralph. Love you, man. Thanks for listening. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are one. This is what David Coley had to say about the Texans canceling mini camp after OTAs.
As far as accomplishing what we wanted to get accomplished, to be able to learn our culture, learn our system, new defense, all of the different players that we've had, we've got to accomplish what we wanted to get accomplished.
All right,
done.
So they
done
got,
deal.
They got what they wanted accomplished. This happened as we were signing off yesterday on hump day after Stanford Routes weekly visit, and there was a lot of reaction. And I just want to go through it. The hot takes on it. Would you like to present yours before or after we hear the information?
I'll do mine after. And I feel like, you know, everybody had their opinion on this and it's your gut reaction. So, you know, that's your opinion. It's not necessarily wrong. What I will tell you is this. It's not as complicated as you think it is. And I'll show you why.
You mean me?
Whomever you are.
What are you talking about me?
The royal you.
I'm on your side here, and you're attacking me.
I'm not. I wasn't looking
at
you.
You're generalizing me with everybody else.
I meant you in a general sense. This is how it's going to be.
Here is the reaction to David Coley canceling minicamp, courtesy of all of our teammates. Let's start with Ron Hughley, who you'll hear after us Monday through Friday from 2 to 6.
Brand new coaches, brand new systems. You're just constantly trying to evaluate right now to see what you got. You got a quarterback in Davis Mills who you probably want to get on the field to see what he has at some point in the season. And these are critical things that can help. And I'm telling you, the biggest thing that shocks me over this, I know this isn't David Culley's decision in my heart. I think this is Nick Caserio's. And Nick Caserio comes from the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick and that crew. I cannot tell you how shocked I am in this situation that Nick Caserio would think that this team could be okay moving past not having this period.
He doesn't. Let me give you my point.
No, just
right
go
now.
Ahead. Just yeah. react
because I think I think you can use this as a backdrop. Everybody here at this station and everybody around following this team has an opinion. Some people share my opinion. Shout out to Steph Stradley who was talking about this exact same.
Wouldn't brag
thing.
About that share, but okay.
And others. But here's my point. It's not that complicated. Nick Caserio doesn't think this. You know, he said he has a hard problem, you know, a problem thinking that Nick Caserio would sign up for it. He doesn't. Here's the thing. If you believe that Nick Caserio is running the Texans especially on the football side.
He show is right though. Every decision is don't be shot. Coley's not calling any of the shots.
No.
He's right about that.
No, he's right about that. But that's what. But hear me out on this. If you believe, and I think we all do, Nick Caserio is running the show, correct?
Yes.
And you also believe, based on all the evidence from what we've learned about him since he's been here, and we know about him since before he's been here, and what we've seen on practice, he was throwing passing routes the other day.
In tights.
He is a workaholic. He's all about competition. Talking about Caserio, he's very, very high strung. He's one of these guys that probably gets up at 4 and goes to bed at midnight and spends the majority of the day at the office. He works out until he almost passes out, and that's a story that you heard.
Yeah.
If you believe that he's that guy, there is no way in hell Nick Caserio would sign up for canceling minicamp, especially with 50 new
players. Unless he had to.
I'm getting there. Especially with like 50 new players, a rookie quarterback that they want to get a grasp of, brand new system, brand new offense, at least tweaks to it, brand new defense, new coordinator, new head coach, new just about everything. There's no way in hell Nick Caserio would agree to this unless it was agreed upon before OTAs. And I think that the key thing you need to understand here, I've talked to coaches on other teams. I was on the phone, you saw me. I was in the other studio on the phone with a coach from another team who said, what's the big deal down there? We did the same thing. And a lot of teams are doing the same thing. It's just not even out there. Because what happens is they're in the midst of the NFLPA telling players not to go to OTAs. Do not go. Direct edict.
Yeah.
So all that happened here, it's not that complicated, people. We're going to hear from other people, but it's not that complicated. The only thing that happened here is the players, through their representation, told the Texans, okay, we'll all show up at OTAs, but cancel minicamp.
Yeah.
And Nick Caserio said, because he had to,
but
okay.
But I do agree with Show on the surface. This team stinks. They could use as much practice as possible.
And Caserio believes that and wants that. But, all I'm saying is he couldn't do it.
But
no one would have shown up. A lot of the veterans wouldn't have shown up at OTAs.
I do agree with what Show's saying. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think this was decided on, and they're acting like it wasn't 100%, their decision. But, yeah, I'm with him. Caserio calls the shots. This team needs a lot of practice. Here is Clint Sterner. I think this is, Figgy, we have this one. I think this is more of an old school POV from an old head, a self-proclaimed old head, Clint Hot Fudge Sterner.
And I know I'm an old head, but in 04, Parcells stands over me and Chad Hutchinson and goes, y'all ain't going to make it through my training camp. Y'all ain't never experienced anything this hard. Y'all ain't going to make it. To now we're negotiating with players. We're hey, y'all show up for 4 weeks, man, and we're not going to do minicamp. That's where we're at.
I think he is right. Like, minicamp is much different now than it was 04. If you're old school, this probably drives you nuts. I think it was probably 03, because I think Clint got released in 03 before the season. So I think it was probably 04. 04, he wasn't there. So I think he's talking about 03. And I think Hutchinson got cut before the 04 season as well. But that's neither here nor there. Parcells, I think, was just basically talking about, though, how hard his camp was going to be.
And here's the other part of that. While
but Clint, he is right about the old school. It's not the same.
Consensus. While Clint is right about that, football has changed just in the last 3 years, much less the last 10 years, And
it'll drive an old head nuts.
Yeah, and they're limiting practices, and players have power. We've heard players talking about that. Players have power now. It may not be something that everybody likes. It's very simple, guys. Hey, we'll show up at OTAs, just cancel minicamp. And Nick Caserio said, okay, guess I have to.
I thought there was some really good stuff from Sean and Seth. That's Clint and Ron. You'll hear them after us, 2 to 6, Monday through Friday. Here was Sean's general take on the Texans canceling minicamp.
So we should point out that this is something that's going on in other places around the league. The Eagles and Colts are two that we've mentioned. There's other places that are kind of having, Seth, these sort of miniature CBA negotiations with their player constituency, and they're saying,
it's almost like an individual local negotiation.
Yeah, like,
yeah,
hey,
it's like when Union Shop 579 is going to, of the, I don't know, United Iron Workers or something,
right,
is going against their local company as opposed to a system-wide
thing. That's right. And so what's been happening is that, as David Culley outlined, leadership for these teams have been sitting down with the coaching staff and upper management of the franchises, and the settlement that they seem to have come to, and this is the one that the Texans obviously came to.
Okay, and I thought Seth really added some real wisdom. Apparently someone could be trying to kind of mark his territory. This is why Seth, when it comes to like perspective from a player, I mean, this guy has a firm grasp of how this stuff works, and that's why when this stuff, that's the first guy I go to get a grasp. This is Seth. Another angle to why minicamp was canceled, on top of the information you've already presented, Sean, Ron, and Clint as well.
I don't know why the Texans would have to dangle a carrot on the stick for most of this roster to show up to any damn thing that they tell them to, because most of these guys are on 1 year, 2 year deals, or they're younger players. I mean, they structure the roster in such a way. They've got all these new guys, and the buzzword has been competition. It's all about competition. And yet, with the new CBA, you only have so many opportunities to have actual competition. I appreciate and I understand exactly the negotiating side of it. And frankly, I and other former players have kind of questioned, not all former players, but some former players that I've talked to, they've kind of questioned, like, what the hell is the NFLPA doing right now? They just signed a new CBA. The time to try to renegotiate when you should be available and when you should report in the offseason would have been during negotiations last year. Yeah. They've got a new president, J.C. Tretter. I will respectfully disagree with him, but I also think that him kind of just trying to flex his muscles in his first time on the job.
There you go. Yeah. So that's another.
But that ties in with my point, too. They would not be doing that. They would be players would want to participate in mini camp. Some players, if they feel like they're on the bubble.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Astros put another assing on Beantown. Gerrit Cole has some defenders. The Texans are canceling practice and a chance, 11:45 and 12:45 today, a chance to win $1,000. A G, a GER, whatever you want to call it. The hits are lit next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by BaywayLincoln.com. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
All right, 10 minutes. Chance to win $1,000. 11:45, 12:45 every day right here on Sports Radio 610. Because who couldn't use a new GER? Astros, another assing in Beantown. Started off not so great. Astros fall down 2-0. But in the second, a double from Big Tuck, a double from Miles Straw makes it 2-1, which brings us to the third. Same score, former MVP at the plate, Jose Altuve, four bags, Senor Bellhop.
They are 3-1. Altuve drives one deep to left field. This game is tied. Jose Altuve, he clears the stadium.
Yeah, he did.
Astros with a four-piece combo. Altuve hits it into Whitey Bulger's neighborhood.
Something
those
like
of you that,
that
know.
Yeah.
No. Four-run third inning for the Stros. 6-3 in the top of the eighth. And that's when the man with the new salsa came to the plate. You know him by his government name of Alex Bregman on this show. We call him the Baseball Messiah. Baseball Messiah with one man on. Astros up 6-3. Four bags, Mr. Bellhop.
Baseball Messiah.
Bregman drives one deep to left field, all the way back, and gone! Home run caught by an Astros fan in the monster seats. A Breggy bomb at Fenway.
Astros take an 8-3 lead. That would be the final. Astros win 8-3. Jake Odorizzi, three earned runs in five innings pitched. Christian Javier, three strikeouts and one hit in four innings. That, my friend, is a nice piggyback. And that, my friend, mi amigo, is another assing at Fenway.
Just, you said it earlier. I thought the Red Sox were supposed to be good in that park. Full stadium for the first time ever, by the way, for the first
ever.
Two games. Well, since the pandemic, first time they've had a full stadium for 2 days, and the Astros just go in there and take their girlfriends, man. I mean, they just absolutely demolish them. Odorizzi, let's put a pin in that performance. I'm not exactly ready to say, okay, he's what we thought he was, but it was a good effort. And I think the better effort – mentioned this as well, is Javier coming in and just like, okay, I got the rest, guys.
Four innings.
Yeah.
Bullpen rest, I got you. I'm going to get that rest. I'm not starting, but I'm going to come here and do that thing.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like a cornball and a little bit cheesy when it comes to starting pitching performances, because there's like gems like what Valdez gave you the other day, 7 1/3. But for some reason, when a guy starts off bad and he allows two runs in the first inning, if he battles and gives me five innings or six – I'm, like, very, very pleased with it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, just because of the response.
Like, Odorizzi is by far the inferior product when it comes to starting pitchers. But sometimes you just set the bar low early, and you're like, can this guy get through five? Can this guy get through six? Even if the top gets blown off, and let's say the Red Sox would have scored six, if he gives me five and gives me, like, a rest of the bullpen, I kind of tip the cap.
Well, that's why the other day, and you weren't here that day, Wade was, and I mentioned to Wade, I was as impressed with Luis Garcia's last performance as any of his dominating ones, because he was sick. He was coughing on the mound. Not COVID, by the way. And you know, got tagged early and just battled through and got it done. No, I totally agree with you on that.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Apparently the Astros love competition. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe me, let's talk to the Skip, Dusty Baker.
Competition brings out the best in you or the worst in you, but it happens to bring out the best in this club. You know, I wouldn't expect anything, you know, less out of these guys. You want to end up beating them more than they beat you, and these guys are going to be in the thick of things all the way to the end.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, he and Nick Caserio love that competition. I've always loved playing the best when you can.
A humble brag.
But here's, I'm talking about just in a general sense, not necessarily my teams. But here's the best news of all.
You missing tackles.
Here's the best news of all. You're getting through. Grinke goes today, but it gets real easy. There's nothing wrong with taking a breath.
They did get swept by the Rangers now.
They did. But after today and Zach Grinke day, you got the Twins, the Rangers, and the White Sox that you're facing. Rangers and White Sox at home. There's nothing wrong with that either.
I think listening to Blum and Callis over the course of a game, some people will focus on like certain stuff and say, oh, this bothers me. But if you actually just listen to their dialogue, I think the most informative piece of information that someone in this business can gather when it comes to getting a grasp of the Houston Astros and looking ahead in a very long season is listening to their back and forth. I think Callis is – Blummer speaks for itself. Blummer's the baseball expert. He's been there. But Callis, like some of the stuff he says, foresight, hindsight, all that with the game, I think it's like such a good piece of information. And they were talking about the stretch coming up with 20 straight games.
Mm-hmm.
And they threw this out there that while a six-man rotation is not ideal, especially down the stretch, that maybe just for that 20 games, with all these guys that you have, and with Odorizzi, with Javier, with McCullers coming back, with Grinke, with Fromber, with Javier, with all these guys, that maybe just for that 20-game stretch, experimenting with a six-man rotation could be something that they could do just to get through it. Now, the counter was, and this is why it's such good dialogue with these guys, is that Zach Greinke is such a creature of habit
exactly.
that he would be the one guy that would just be like, man, I don't know. I could do that. Framber Valdez could pitch tomorrow if you asked him to, or he could wait 30 days. That's just him. But Greinke has a Hall of Fame career, and he is a huge creature of habit.
I've said this on this show. I'm just not a big fan of six-game rotations. I don't think six-pitcher rotations. I don't think you can make a living doing it. I could see what you're talking about, but maybe not the whole distance. Just like a spot start, a couple of different guys with the spot starts over the 20 games, because I do agree with the Greinke point as well.
Speaking of Zach Greinke, coming off a complete game, coming off a couple of gems.
I thought of you the other day. Finish your point, and then I want to mention something that we talked about.
This was Zach Greinke. Apparently, he had a complete game. Carlos Correa gave him the game ball. Here is Zach Greinke, like only he can, talking about how much he treasured the piece of memorabilia that the Sparkle Prince handed him.
Yeah, he gave me the game ball, so I got that in my bag.
Do you know what you're going to do with it yet?
I'll try to keep it, but 90%+ of the time I'll end up losing it somewhere.
So this is what made me think of you. You were the and to a certain degree, I guess you still get the occasional autograph.
No, I don't.
You don't?
No.
But
an autograph in like 10 years.
Okay, but you were the autograph king. Self-professed.
Yes.
The autograph king.
We got our hustle on.
So I asked Wade when I heard this, it just makes me laugh. I asked him, what was the one piece of memorabilia that you had, but somehow you lost along the way, or you had a chance to get, and you lost along the way? I told the story about Muhammad Ali. If you didn't hear it, the short version is, that was my dude. I mean, that growing up, it was all about Muhammad Ali for me. Obviously, I had football players I liked, baseball players, but it was Ali. I started boxing because of him. I used to stand in front of the mirror and do the Ali shuffle. I mean, he was my dude.
Were you a draft dodger?
I was not. But I got to interview him 3 or 4 times over the course of my career.
Damn, that'd be sick.
It was pretty sick. It was pretty awesome.
I want to do that one day.
But I never got an autograph from Ali.
In heaven.
1996, Atlanta Olympics. I'm on the second row. Much to everybody's surprise, Muhammad Ali pops out. His arm is shaking. And he lights the torch.
And you ask him to write your name?
I go to the elevators after that, like emotional about it.
You got that autograph, right?
Security guard says, hold the elevator, hold the elevator. I put my hand up. Security guards come in, 2 of them, then Muhammad Ali, and then another dude. It's just me going 9 floors up to the press box with Muhammad Ali. I turn to him. I say, what's up, champ? And we start chatting. We talk as best he could. And I had the ticket to the opening ceremonies in my shirt pocket and a pen. And I reach for it. And I look at him. And I go, nah, I better not.
Yeah, I think you made the right choice.
Because, no, he was signing. No, he was shaking, but he was in much better shape.
Bro.
Then. No, he could sign. Trust me, because he did. But it wasn't as bad as it was later. The medication, whatever. And so I didn't get it until the day I die. I'm going to regret not getting the champs, my idol's autograph.
Man. All right. Time to put a grand in your hand. All you got to text is the word STRIPE. STRIPE. STRIPE to 72881. STRIPE to 72881. Let's put a grand in your hand. Text the code word STRIPE. For a chance to win $1,000, that's STRIPE to 72881. Nationwide entrance. We'll have until the top of the hour to text STRIPE to 72881. Message and data rates do apply. We're putting a grand in your hand every day, 11:45, 12:45, right here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610, powered by BetQL. Win more and cash in more with the help of BetQL. Download the BetQL app today. That's BetQL. Again, STRIPE, STRIPE. To 72881, next chance to win at 12:45.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
So Wade told the story. The only touchdown he ever scored in the NFL, he lost the ball.
Really?
He never got it. He had it. He spiked it. He celebrated. Got to the locker room. Media asked him about it. Hey, did you get the ball? And he goes, oh, crap. Never got the football.
Matt takes the snap. Hand off Tate, running right. And he slips through and fumbles the ball in the end zone. And it's recovered by Wade Smith. It's a Houston touchdown. The Texans score. Tate lost a hogskin going for the goal line as he broke tackles. And Wade Smith got all over the rock in the end zone.
Wow. No one knows where the ball
is. An offensive lineman touchdown. You got to keep that, bro.
So I know you have to have a story.
No, I mean... There's been times where I haven't, you know, maybe gotten what I got, but I was pretty good at hustling, man. Yeah. I mean, I remember I bought a $2 ticket to a game when Mark McGwire was hot, and there were people not getting it, but I had the system so down, I knew he was going to go down the baseline. I have 4 baseballs signed in one sitting from Mark McGwire. Bastard lowered the value, but I was really good at, like, at getting the multiple. There's been some times where my buddy has gotten my buddy Jacob Harper, jackass, best friends with Fletcher Cox. Now, you want to talk about a dude that hustles. I don't want to put his business too out there, but this dude knew all the players.
Yeah.
For some reason, it was always the guys that maybe like the Marahucci. I'm not sure what Harp was doing.
The weed.
Samaki Walker, Lamar Odom, Clifford Robinson, like all these guys. There was always some hookup with my man Harp. But this dude, Kobe gave me his sweatband, and that was cool.
Yeah.
That was awesome. This dude got Kobe's shoes, the Adidas.
How'd he do it? You just hustled?
One game we went to, Harp got so many pairs of shoes that they needed to give him a trash bag because he got like 6 pairs of players' shoes.
Wow.
I don't know what he was doing.
I wonder if he was making a trade.
I don't know how Harp was doing it. I just know Harp was from Harp.
I wonder
was from,
if he reached into his shirt pocket.
I would run around with Harp, and Harp was from a different side of town than me. Harp was from like the Walnut Hill.
You're not helping his case.
Slash side of town. Yeah, I was like more of the burbs.
Is that the hood?
Running around. Yeah, Harp was doing his thing. Now he does car promotions. So Harp used to get it, but now he got the Kobe shoes. I was very, very jealous of that. The good old days. Gerrit Cole yesterday, he shut a lot of people up. Fastest fastball that he's thrown all year amidst the sticky substance scandal. Here was Aaron Judge defending the honor of former Astro Gerrit Cole.
I really didn't like it. You know, I feel like 95% of the guys I face in the league or something's going on. You know, it's kind of one of those rules that I feel like hasn't really been enforced or defined or, you know, whatever you want to say about it. But when it comes to it, you know, we all got a job to do. Cole's got his job to do on the mound. And me as a hitter, I got to step in the box. And, you know, no matter what's going on, no matter what people are using, I got to go in there and do my job. You know, I haven't really thought about all that yet too much. It's, I'll give a better answer later.
All right, so Aaron Judge defending Gerrit Cole as much as he can. By the way, on the text line, you're getting a lot of support. Apparently, you did the right thing not asking.
Yeah, media, man, not supposed to ask for autographs.
Muhammad
nowadays,
Ali to get the autograph.
A lot of media blur that line.
Well, I think that pictures are better now anyways. Like, one of my biggest regrets is not getting pictures, but I just don't think. I mean, I have people very close to me that have Parkinson's. I don't think you should be asking dude to write.
I'm here to tell you, I was standing next to the man. I was at those games. He was.
You want to ask him to carry your tray in the press box too?
At that, I mean, he walked up. He wasn't in a wheelchair. I mean, he walked up. He was.
No, I saw him carrying that torch, and it didn't quite look like I would want to ask him for his autograph afterwards.
I understand that. That's what made it so moving. But he did. I'm telling you, he was.
Hey, champ.
Yeah.
That story is better than the autograph, though.
Yeah.
You're not the first person to tell me that.
I'd rather keep that story than autograph that time.
I've had several people tell me that, you know, like, but now you wouldn't have had that story. It's like you would have just pointed to the autograph. Yeah, that's Ali. I got it in the autograph in the
that's
elevator.
That's a cool story.
Yeah.
What a legend. I still have Muhammad Ali displayed. I have Muhammad Ali's autograph in my living room, a big, like, artwork at the bottom. He signed it.
Right.
Yeah.
He used to make a mint signing stuff, man.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
Well, he was broke.
Yeah.
He basically took $50,000 instead of $1.5 million because he was so desperate for cash from Don King.
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of documentaries lately, and Don King basically took advantage of him. Where I think he got shorted $1 million, then Don King shows up with $50,000 in briefcase, and then it's just dismissed, washed, peace out.
Biggio gave me an autographed World Series used bat.
That's sick.
Yeah. Because I'm old school, man. I've never asked for autographs in the clubhouse or locker rooms. You know, media doesn't do that, and I adhere to it.
I honestly haven't gotten an autograph in probably 15 years.
But after that.
Just as a kid.
After that World Series in 05 or the next year after the season when he was working on 3000 and all that, I went over to his house and did a sit-down interview with Bidge just to, you know, kind of the whole big story, you know. And somehow it came up. I've never, you know. Never asked for an autograph or anything, and he had a World Series bat there, and he goes, you want this one?
Sure.
And then he signed it for me and gave it to me, so it's still in my office.
How did Harp get that access? I don't know how he did it.
I wonder.
We could literally just walk.
How did he get in?
No idea. We could walk anywhere. Like, anywhere.
Yeah.
You name any player.
Were there any dogs around?
You name any player in like the 90s NBA up to like 99, from like 96 to 99, I got his autograph.
That's crazy.
Not Jordan, no, he was a jerk. Rasheed Wallace was racist. He only signed for Harp. There were five of us. I was the only white guy. I was the only one who didn't get it.
Well,
come on, Rasheed. But anybody else, pretty much, yeah.
Right. What did he tell you?
He said, get this bitch ass white boy away from me, Harp. Who's this honky running with you guys?
Why is he here?
What's he doing? What is this, Detroit? Is this white boy Rick? Get his ass out of here. Landry
you
Locker,
never really,
John Lopez, Figgy Fig.
You never really, you know, told the story. How'd you get the Kobe sweatpants?
Just gave it to me.
Oh, just passing?
Just asked him before the game, said, hey, let me get that. He said, yeah. Got T-Max too when he was with Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
T-Max is actually embroidered. Kobe's is just like purple, but Kobe, hey, let me get that, please.
Kobe.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. See you in Colorado, bro. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, too soon.
Come on now.
Landry Locker, John
Lord,
Lopez, man. Figgy Fig with
Good Lord.
Sports Radio 610.
My God.
Coming up, John Lopez holds court. What restaurant?
Rest in peace, Kobe,
that's a
man.
Dark turn,
is
man.
Each Houston Texan next?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.